Inside the Coach's Headset, presented by Tony Smith, your hometown shelter insurance agent. Call Tony at 528-7079. 528-7079. The X's and O's of coaching from the Upper Cumberland's best as we go inside the Coach's Headset.
Our coach today on Inside the Coach's Headset, sponsored by Tony Smith, your shelter insurance agent, is none other than the what we'll call legendary coach of the DeKalb County High School girls basketball team as well as the softball team, head coach Danny Fish. Coach Fish, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Coach, you know, your reputation precedes itself when it comes to athletics here in the Upper Cumberland. Tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got into the teaching profession, and a little bit of about your athletic background yourself.
I'm born and bred DeKalb County native, graduated DCHS in 96, played dual sports. I played baseball for Coach Joey Reeder back in the 90s, and then legendary Coach Danny Bond in men's basketball, and, was pretty decent at both of them, I guess. Was good enough in baseball to be awarded a baseball scholarship in college, and played 2 years at Motlow State Community College for Hall of Famer Don Roten. After that time, because it being a JUCO and a two-year school, was able to get another scholarship, which was a full tuition scholarship to Tennessee Wesleyan College, which was an NAIA school in Athens, Tennessee. That's kind of how my playing career went, and had a good job, did a good job, had some fun, met a lot of people, and majored in PE, health, and park and recs, recreation there at Tennessee Wesleyan, received my bachelor's in 01, and that's kind of how I got into coaching. The last year, I didn't have any eligibility, but I still had to do some student teaching, and my sister, she was also an athlete, too. She played at Vol and then played at Tennessee Wesleyan. She was a fast-pitch softball player and started just kind of volunteering around with their team just to kind of be around with her and hang out with her and help her out, and that last year, and kind of ran into my first job right there. The coach liked some things that I was doing and helping out, and he needed an assistant. I needed a job. I wasn't really sure if I wanted to go into public education yet, so the next year I got hired on at Tennessee Wesleyan College as an assistant softball coach, and was doing outfielders and hitters, and that's what I played in outfield. I was a center fielder and leadoff guy, and that kind of ran into something else. The first year I was there, we were conference champs, and I was the head coach for the JV team, and we went 16-6 in my first JV season. I was 22 years old. And when that JV season was played against JUCOs like Cleveland State, Chatt State, Walters State, all them Tennessee JUCO teams, and had a really good year and was actually doing some lessons up at the Diamond Sports Academy up in Harriman, Tennessee. And, I was out fishing one day, and, AD from Maryville College called me, Randy Lambert, and, asked him how he got my phone number, and he said that he had he was interviewing for the women's head coaching position there at Maryville College for fast pitch softball, and he called the mutual reference on the people that he was interviewing. Well, the mutual reference wanted to talk about me, so he gave him my phone number, and he called me, and the next day I was up there interviewing for their job, and 2 days later, there I am, the youngest head coach in Division III that year at 23 years old. Stayed at Maryville College for about 7 years. Won about 5 championships while I was there, and felt like it was time to maybe make a change and try to move up the ladder. And there were some things there that I needed because I was getting married and I was had my first child. So there was just some support systems that I was looking for, and ended up finding those at Union College in Barberville, Kentucky, working for Darren Wilson, who is the athletic director at Georgia Gwinnett College right now in Gwinnett County, Georgia. Ended up going there, was there for 3 years, was asked to take over a program that only had two winning seasons in 15 years total. My first year, went right in there and had some good players, and, you know, I don't know what we were doing, but we finally kind of came through at the end and ended up winning the Appalachian Athletic Conference championship. It was the first one in their school history, and because of that, we was awarded to go to the NAIA World Series down in Decatur, Georgia, which was a first for their programs. Wasn't a first for me, you know. At Maryville College, I did basketball and softball, and, you know, basketball, we had like four NCAA bursts while I was there in 4 years. You know, I worked with point guards and shooting guards, and you know, in softball, we were able to make it to the NCAA national tournament two different times. So it was kind of good to see going to a place where they not had a lot of success, and those kids worked real hard, and then to see some success. And then, you know, I was there for 3 years, and my wife's dad, he used to be the coach at Coffee County Central High School. He used to be the head softball coach at Terry Floyd, which is a legendary coach around this area too in softball. And he came down with a liver disease, and he was having to have a liver transplant. And, you know, being 5 hours away from home, we weren't home much, you know, every holiday, stuff like that. But, you know, the older you get, the more family means to you, because you know that you're kind of getting down that road of getting close to being older, you know, and not being around your parents and stuff anymore. But so he was on the transplant list, and we really weren't sure how much time he had. And, you know, me and my wife had been praying about it and thinking about it. And finally we just took a leap of faith, you know, and went in there and handed the AD my resignation. And he asked me what I was going to do. I told him I didn't know. And lo and behold, we came back to Smithville here in DeKalb. And that first year I was back, you know, we got back in July, and in July, you know, if in education, you know, most of the jobs are filled up by then. And I was kind of, I wouldn't say burnout, but I was kind of just tired from coaching two sports for about, you know, 10, 12 years. You know, I was either coaching basketball as my secondary sport, and then when I went to Union, I was an assistant athletic director overall game management. So I handled all the sporting events at Union, and there's like 22 sports, and you know, that becomes a monster in itself when you're doing stuff like that. And so I kind of probably needed a rest. So it was, you know, maybe God looking out for me, telling me that I needed a rest. And I sit out that whole year, and that whole year Coach Bond here at DeKalb, he was coaching softball, and you know, my sisters played for him and I played for him, and he was trying to get me involved over here. You know, I did a little bit of substitute teaching just to make a little bit of money when we got back and got settled. But ended up helping him for that year. And then, you know, the next year they added a position at Northside Elementary, and he got me I got that job over there, and I was helping him I helped him for 4 years. And out of those 4 years, 3 years, we went to the state tournament, you know, and had the two best records ever come through over here at DeKalb County. One year when we were working together, we won 40 games. We were 40-8, went to the state tournament. I think we finished sixth that year. And then the last year that he coached, we were like 38-3 or 4. And, you know, two of those games that we lost were in the state tournament, and finished in the Final Four that year. You know, after that year, Coach Bond retired. And, of course, that was the same year that Joe Pat Cope had resigned here in basketball. And they kind of goes together. Kind of funny is that they hired me for the softball position. They hired another guy, Luke Kennard, who is actually Jimmy Miller's assistant at Livingston. He was working here, and they hired him, and he was driving back and forth from Livingston, and I'd already got the ball rolling with softball, you know, getting that stuff going and doing some different things. And we was in here one day in the office just sitting here waiting to go home, and Kathy Bryant, who is Dr. Kathy Bryant now, she works in the central office. She was our principal. She comes down and tells me that Coach Kennard had accepted a job at Livingston, you know, because that was his hometown. A job popped open, he applied for it, and, you know, they hired him. And you can't ever fault somebody for taking a job in their hometown, especially when they're having to drive basically 50 minutes to another job.
Right.
But that left the basketball program without a coach. So she come in and she said, I know you got experience, and, you know, we'd like to not have to look further than inside our building, you know, because if we do, you know, it's, and it was September, you know, we're not really sure what we're going to get or who we're going to get or what. So I said, okay, so I'll take it for 1 year, you know, and I'll do it for 1 year, and then you guys can come back and reevaluate and, you know, make a decision after the season's over. So, you know, kind of nerve-wracking for the kids, you know, not, you know, basically playing for three coaches in a matter of about 4 months. And, you know, that's kind of how I fell into both of these jobs here. And, you know, with basketball and softball, there's been some ups and there's been some downs, but, you know, we've really enjoyed it. And, you know, personally, I've really enjoyed being back in my hometown and wearing my colors again. And, you know, my kids going to the schools that I went to, and, you know, some of them teachers that I had, you know. So it's been really remarkable for me and a good experience. And, you know, we've also been able to be, you know, successful. You know, running into last year, we were running on five consecutive district and regional championships for softball. I mean, we finished second last year, and so that streak got broke. But we started another streak last year with basketball, you know, able to make it to the region again. And then we actually finished regional runner-up and won our sectional and was able to make it to the state in basketball for the first time since 1965. Actually, the first time in DeKalb County high school basketball history, but the girls and the boys had been a couple times when we had the Smithville High School. You know, we were all separate then, mm-hmm. Smithville High School and Liberty High School and stuff like that. So that's kind of the brief background of how I, you know, kind of got into coaching and, you know, kind of where I'm at right now. So,
well, you're listening to the head coach of the DeKalb County Tigerettes, ladies basketball and softball coach Danny Fish, here on Inside the Coach's Headset, brought to you by Tony Smith, your hometown shelter insurance agent. I'm your host, Amos Rogan. Coach Fish, obviously, through that, you've seen a tremendous amount of success. And in a lot of respects, you've had a career path that a lot of other coaches have not had. Usually, when they get up into the college ranks, they've caught a job and coached at the high school ranks first, where you're just kind of somewhat the opposite. Some of the things that you've seen and that you've taught through there, what are the things that you have really instilled in your programs that you have been taught in order to see this success that you have been able to generate in the places that you've been?
Well, I guess, you know, one characteristic, you know, we'll talk about a couple of them, but one characteristic is perseverance. I mean, you have to constantly persevere your entire life, you know, be persistent about what you're doing, be detail-oriented about what you're doing, you know, because there's going to be doors that slam in your face, but you don't want that to stop you. You just want that to make you more determined. You know, so we talk about our kids about being, you know, being able to persevere and being persistent on things. Also, there's no replacement for hard work, you know, and work ethic, dedication. You know, I mean, if you're going to be good at something, you have to do it. It's just not going to happen. And you know, people that work hard, they like that grind. You know, that's what I tell people. You know, my uncle is Harold Luna. He was a legendary coach here back in the 60s and the 70s at DeKalb County, and you know, he's still on the TSSAA for one of the highest winning percentages in the history of his coaching career. And he asked me one day at a family reunion, he said, what do you like about coaching? And I told him the struggle, and he said, what do you mean by that? And I said, the struggle, the everyday struggle, you know, are we going to be able to get our boots strapped on every day? And are we going to be able to grind through things that don't go our way? And I think that's really a characteristic that these kids need when they get out of school, because, you know, life's not life's not it's a roller coaster, you know. It's not good to you all the time, but you know, if you don't put in that work and you don't stay persistent with your thoughts and with your enthusiasm and with your work ethic, then you know, you're not going to have a chance to come out of that. And you know, we want to make sure that, you know, when our student athletes leave DeKalb County, and that's just not for me, that's for all the sports, and even our just the people that don't play sports, people that are in my PE class, that's what I try to tell them. You know, you're going to have to work for what you want, and you'll get what you work for. And if you don't, then, you know, you need to work a little bit harder. Don't play the blame game. Don't point the finger. You know, every morning, you know, put your clothes on, strap your shoes on, lace them up, look in the mirror and say, you know, I'm going to make today the best that I can make it. You know, if you make one tiny step a day, it's still called progress. So you just want to put one foot in front of the other and try to achieve your dreams one step at a time. And, you know, I believe that we've been able to be successful on, you know, just following some characteristics like that, because we stay really focused and centered, focusing on small pictures instead of the overall big picture. You know, I tell my teams all the time, I tell them to look around at each other. You guys are like a puzzle now. It's my job to make sure all the pieces fit together, and then we'll get the picture that we need. But they have to stay humble, and they have to stay centered, and they have to understand that, you know, it's my job as the coach and as the navigator of the ship to kind of, you know, critique you and make sure that you're doing what you need to be doing. That goes for class. That goes for your attitude. That even goes for their, you know, social relationships that they have with the other students or whatnot. You know, I'm always kind of monitoring those things to kind of keep those kids on the right path and make sure that they have the ability to be, you know, functional citizens when they get out. You know, the best thing that they can say is when I get a call saying, hey, coach, you know, I'm getting married, or hey, coach, I'm having my first child. You know, it's like next weekend I'm going to a wedding in Owensboro, Kentucky, of a kid that played for me in 2010. And I'm, you know, I love those calls. You know, that's the connectivity that we have within our program. And that's when I'm the happiest, you know, is seeing these girls, you know, become great mothers and become great wives. And that's, you know, and productive citizens. That's really what we're trying to do here.
And you're talking about the connectivity between the coach and the player. And I've sat in the stands and watched you coach basketball. I've actually umpired one of your softball games down in Woodbury when you were playing Cannon County. One of the things that I've always noticed is that your kids, no matter if it's basketball or softball, you have a connection with them that when you say something, they take it to heart, and they want to play not only for themselves, but they respect you enough that they want to play for you and make their coach proud. And I think in such a day and time where there's so much social media, there's so much exterior noise that is really influencing kids, especially high school kids these days, how have you been able to maintain a good connection with these kids to get the most effort that they can possibly put out for their team and for you as a coach?
Well, a couple different things there, Amos, is that, you know, we got to make sure that the kids understand that they're playing for something more than themselves, okay? If you're on a team, and just like we're on our jobs, we all have certain responsibilities that we have to uphold to make the overall product the best it can be, you know. And you know, I'm very truthful with the kids, but, you know, I developed that relationship for them to where when I'm talking to them about, you know, speaking the truth is what we tell them, is, you know, they don't take that. They take it more as a parental truth than, you know, somebody just getting on to them. You know, I'm here to help the kids. And they know how much I help them, you know. I tell them all the time, if you guys can outwork me, or if you guys work as much as I do at being good at what I'm trying to do, then we're not going to have any problems at all. We're going to have a good year. But I really believe that they buy in because they see how much I work, too, you know. I've played for coaches that it felt like the players just done everything, you know, whether it come to field maintenance or picking up around the gym or this, that, and the other. We really try to get them to believe and the ownership. This is your program as much as it is mine, if not more. I mean, you're putting in a lot of the work. So Once you get kids to take ownership of their program, I feel like they'll play a lot harder for that program because they feel like they have a hand in everything that happens. I mean, my kids decide practice times. My kids decide, you know, once a week we have a captain's workout where they design the practice plan. So they really feel like they're involved in where the program is going and what direction. So I think because of that ownership, they really have a handle and they connect a little bit better. Plus, you know, we meet a lot. You know, I meet with my kids. I'm always talking to them about what's going on. And sometimes, and most of the time, it's not even about the sport or what they need to do better. You know, I want to get to know my kids. Just, you know, they know I know them. Okay, so I know what they're doing. You know, I spend more time with these kids than their parents do, especially like one-on-one. But, you know, I think that they just see that and they feel that and they know that I'm genuine about it. And genuine is a big deal. You know, they know that I genuinely care about them as a person. And, you know, I tell them all the time, during the game, I may get upset with you about something that you did, but as soon as we walk out and the game's over, it's over. We're just going to go to game mistakes in the next practice and work on what we need to get better at. But, you know, I know that it's a game, and, you know, it's just a game. I'm not going to my personality and the way that I treat my players is not going to change whether we win or lose. Now, if they're not making their grades and they're skipping class and they're doing something, you know, yeah, that's gonna change our trust level and that's gonna change our relationship. But as long as they're upholding that end of the bargain, you know, that's what we really want. You know, but we preach family and we do a lot of stuff together. So I really believe that really helps us, you know, connect with one another and you know, actually genuinely caring about one another, you know, keeps you together. So,
and that kind of leads me into, this is a question that I love asking all the coaches that I talk to, and really finding out just what they, how they sit and center themselves in their coaching philosophy and working with these kids. If there was one thing that you could ask any of the players that have been through either one of your programs, softball or basketball, and they said, if there was one thing that I took from Danny Fish, what would it be?
He loves us. We preach on that, you know, loving each other for who we are, not who for what you think they should be. Okay. We love in our program. I think everything in the world, to be honest with you, comes back to loving one another. A lot of times, you know, we try to put things on people that they can't do. You know, I don't ask any of my players to do anything that they can't do. And, I love what they do and I try to make it specific in what they should do to help. But you know, my kids know that they love that I love them and that, you know, they know that I'm dedicated to making them the best that they can be. And, you know, because I'm trying to work to make them the best they can be. And, you know, it helps our programs be the best they can be. But, you know, I'd say that love is the best thing in our locker room. I mean, we really, and our kids really love each other. And that was really the biggest reason that, you know, we were able to go to, you know, as far as we did last year is, I mean, the locker room was pretty inseparable. And then, you know, that we had good senior leaders that, you know, took care of a lot of stuff within the locker room that I didn't have to handle. And that's when you know that you got some strong leaders within your locker rooms is when you don't hear a lot of noise as a coach and you can really focus on the X's and O's of whatever you need to do to get better to win games. But, you know, we love each other, and, you know, that's probably one of those things that they would say about me. So,
well, Coach, it's genuine because you can see just from my perspective in watching you and watching these teams, you do care about these kids, and these kids care about you, and they care about this program. So thank you very much for joining us here on Inside the Coach's Headset. Best of luck to you, and hope to see you soon.
Hey, I appreciate it, Amos. Thank you for calling. I'm here anytime that you want to do it. And then, you know, good luck to y'all, and I appreciate everything that you do for us and the Upper Cumberland Athletics.
All right. Thanks, Coach. Have a good one.
Inside the Coach's Headset, presented by Tony Smith, your hometown shelter insurance agent. Call Tony at 528-7079. 528-7079. The X's and O's of coaching from the Upper Cumberland's best as we go inside the coach's headset.